Welcome back, folks. We're switching gears here for a moment. We have Ali Danois on the phone with us, senior editor of Bounce Magazine, of course, co-host, one of the three co-hosts of the Black Top Exchange Sports Report, right here on WEAA on Sunday evenings. Ali, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Mark. How are you?
I'm good. So, what's happening?
Well, what isn't happening?
You Man.
Know, it's a shame. It's a shame that probably the greatest first-round playoff action in the history of the NBA playoffs has been overshadowed by this walking abomination known as Donald Sterling, the owner of the Los Angeles Clippers.
Well, let's talk a bit about that. I mean, I listened to the tape over the weekend. It was I know you all talked about it Sunday night, and it was pretty outrageous what you heard him say, the kind of racist remarks he made. But I'm and his girlfriend, who's a lot, who's Mexican, an African American. You know, for life of me, I guess money talks to some people about why you stay with somebody. But the question is, the bigger question here is what a response should be. Lester Spence, who we could not, we just saw this. We would have had him on the show. Maybe we'll have him on later in the week and ask you back. Wrote a really long piece on this, and I hadn't had a chance to go through it, but through it all. But basically, what kind of response we had here? It seems to me that the NBA players could make a pretty strong response, but they're not.
Well, I think the Clippers players made a nice statement yesterday when they came out for their warm-ups. They had their jerseys turned inside out, and they placed their garments on the floor at midcourt. They were wearing black armbands in terms of solidarity. You know, right now, people need to understand that their main job and their main focus and something they've worked towards all year is trying to compete for an NBA championship. But I do believe that when players like LeBron James make such a strong statement saying that, you know, Donald Sterling is not fit to own an NBA franchise, that's a long cry from Michael Jordan's statement when he was playing, saying, hey, Republicans buy shoes too, when he refused to take a stance on social issues. It's going to be an interesting kind of dichotomy in terms of how this is addressed, because of course we know that the new commissioner, Mr. Silver, is an attorney, and he's a very brilliant one, and there are some legal ramifications in terms of what he can say. I'm sure there's some great nuance in terms of the bylaws of the NBA and how the other owners are able to kind of extract an owner that isn't fit or is a detriment to the game. In the long term, I do believe that we're going to see some action that's going to force this guy to sell his franchise, because it's a huge black eye on the game. And it's an unfortunate circumstance, which leads me to question, and I do feel that David Stern, the former NBA commissioner, was the greatest commissioner in the history of professional sports. When you look at where he took the NBA from when he inherited the job to when he passed it off, it's just an amazing case study in sports business. But this is one thing that we have to question his leadership on, because people who followed Mr. Sterling over the years know that this is nothing new. I mean, this guy was part of a huge discrimination lawsuit in 2003,
right,
that were brought on by tenants and the Housing Rights Center in Los Angeles, because of the fact that, you know, he's not the most racially enlightened guy around, and his policies toward his black and Latino residents was abhorrent. So, you know, he's made statements over the years. You know, the great Elgin Baylor, who worked as the general manager for that franchise for many years, brought a lawsuit as well.
Against, right.
Charging racial and age discrimination. And so, this is not a secret in terms of who this man is. But at some point, the NBA is going to have to make a decision, because if he continues to just operate as he has been,
right,
I think it's going to be a huge public relations nightmare, and it's time to get this guy out of here.
So let's let y'all know that Dr. Lester Spence, who I talked about a moment ago, who wrote a really interesting blog that I only had a chance to go over quickly because it was just going in the air when I saw it, has joined us by phone as well. Lester, good to have you with us.
Hey, what's up, man?
So talk about your perspective on this. I went very quickly through all your points, but I was literally on the air when it was sent to me. I hadn't had a chance to really kind of, digest it.
So when a moment like this, like with given the rise of the internet, so to speak, it's like we get these flashpoint events like this, and all of a sudden there's all this content. And then to the extent that black folks ourselves are talking about this, you can imagine, how this language goes, right? So I was thinking about Cornel West for this other piece I'm writing, and I was thinking about that kind of way back machine thing that he would likely deploy and say, oh my God, you compare like what the Clippers are doing, to Muhammad Ali back in the day, or to Jim Brown back in the day, or Kareem Abdul-Jabbar back in the day, and they're found wanting. You can also think through how that moment went, but right before they decide how they're going to act, right? You could think about us saying, wow, you know what? If they don't act in this way, then they'll basically be, they'll basically justify us thinking of them as if they're modern-day slaves. And what I basically tried to do in this short piece I wrote was just kind of unpack that in a few different ways, right? Just to think about, for example, there isn't, they were only given 2 days, right? So the event happens on Friday. Their basketball game is on Sunday, right? So even if they did decide as a team to say, you know what, we want to do something, right? We want to take a moral stance against racism. They only had 2 days to work out all their interests to figure out what that stance would be. And none of them has a history of political involvement in that way, right? So what I wanted to do was kind of create a space where we could acknowledge the agency that the Clippers had, that Chris Paul and Blake Griffin and them had, and at the same time say, okay, if they decided to do something, it would be awesome. If they didn't decide to do something, it would be understandable. It wouldn't be, for example, that these guys are modern-day slaves, metaphorically. It wouldn't be, for example, that they don't have political consciousness or don't care about black people. Rather, it's that political organizing is always hard. And then the last thing I'd say quickly is that I really want to give a shout-out to folks like Bomani Jones, who've been writing about this, who've written about Sterling's racist institutional behavior for years, and thinking again about how politics works. If they hadn't written that stuff 10 years ago, we wouldn't have the extra text to be able to say, Right. Well, no, this isn't more about his comments. This is about a longer history. You know what I mean?
And what's shocking to me also, I don't know if you all saw this, but the NAACP gave Sterling a Lifetime Achievement Award.
And so to the extent that we're critiquing black actions, right, if we're critiquing anything, it should be the NAACP, right, in L.A., because they had to have known about his racist behavior, and likely because Sterling gave them loot, they made a decision to award him a second Lifetime Achievement Award, as if a first Lifetime Achievement Award wasn't enough, a decision that they've since rescinded.
Ali, you want to comment on that too?
No, I think he's, right on the ball. I'm in full agreement. It's just a sad commentary that the NAACP would honor this guy previously and also, have him on the docket to be honored again when, are we that desperate for a few million dollars where this guy not only gets a tax write-off, but he gets to buy some cleanliness for people who don't really understand his racist past.
Oh, brother, that's not we. No, you got to say it's them. In this moment, you got to say it's not we. Unless you a dues paying member of the Los Angeles NAACP, that ain't we. That's them.
Well, up on the stage with him is going to be Al Sharpton. He's getting an award along with him. Let's see if Al Sharpton has something to say. we only have a couple minutes left here, but when I saw this and on Blacktop Exchange and kind of listened to the whole piece, it was so blatantly glaring. And I think that my other thing I want to say is that there may be very little, given the private nature of the ownership of teams, that anybody can do anything about this other than direct action, like the player saying, we're not going to play until he's gone?
So one of the other points I made was that even when you have a crisis moment like this and people think about alternatives, I find it interesting that the one alternative that probably a few people did toss out, like I wouldn't be surprised if Dave Zirin, or who writes about this stuff from a left perspective, brings it up. But nobody's talked about, what if the city of Los Angeles owned the Clippers, right? People have talked about giving it to Magic, who's another capitalist, right, but black. It's like, wow, what would happen if the cities actually owned the teams as opposed to the owners? What would that look like, right? And I think that's the type of conversation, that stuff that isn't brought up often, but that events like this allow us to bring up.
Well, I'm glad you could join us, Lester Spence, Associate Professor of Political Science and at Johns Hopkins University. We're going to link to this blog that Lester wrote, which I think is really incredible, really thoughtful, and what I've read of it and what I've heard what he's saying. We can wrestle this later on in the week. And Ali Danwar, always, once again, great, always great to have you with us. And don't miss Ali and his cohorts at the Blacktop Exchange Sports Report on WEAA every Sunday night at 7. He's also senior editor of Bounce Magazine. Ali Danwar, Dr. Lester Spence, thank you both so much.
All right, thanks for having me. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you both. And we're going to take a very brief break, and then we are switching gears from racist owners of the NBA teams to what's happening in Ukraine and try to unearth some of the complexity there and going out with money. Speaking of money, this is Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon. It was on number one chart for a ridiculous amount of time, 760 weeks on and off. Insane. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.